Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the first Cambridge Inside Out show of the new year, 2022.
That's true.
And I'm Robert Winters, and I've been that way for decades.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
So I hear. And with a new year, and after a Cambridge municipal election of last year, they nine people raised their hand for the city council, and six people for the school committee, and we're all inaugurated for the new term yesterday, 10 a.m. for the mayoral, the city council inauguration, which took place outdoors in very cold weather in Starlight Square, Central Square.
How come they did it there and the school committee did it inside?
Initially, they were both supposed to happen in the Sullivan Chamber. Yeah. And then it was actually, I think a decision was made last week, maybe when the numbers were soaring, to move the city council.
Right. And maybe because the other one is at night, they couldn't have done it outside.
Yeah. And also I think they just, they had fewer people. Yeah. Actually, there were some people, at least two school committee members brought no guests to their inauguration.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So
not safe.
Anyway. But with the inauguration, just the way we do things under our glorious planning charter, the city council gets to elect their president of the city council, better known as the mayor of Cambridge, but it's really effectively the president of the city council. Right. And, so that took place. And again, no surprise for those who've been watching that it was Sumbul Siddiqui was re-elected, or should say elected again, as mayor. And after a little bit of, you know, funny business, Alana Mallon was selected again as vice chair of the city council.
Why are you calling it funny business?
Well, no, funny business only because it was straight up 9-0.
Right.
It was 9-0 for the mayoral election. I mean, there's a backstory behind that, you know, which we don't need to get into.
But
in the end, I don't think anybody wanted to be seen as voting in anything, in any way other than unanimously for Sumbul Siddiqui.
Right.
You know, how the votes initially materialized and got to five is kind of its own story. But in the end, everybody, closed ranks. And this way, nobody's going to say who's the good guys and the bad guys. And, and let's all start off the new term and, happy and free. Right.
Okay.
I think it was a little bit, I mean, I personally don't feel that the vice mayor role is, there's no extra salary, there's no extra staff, there's no extra anything.
No, but there's some kind of, people wanted it. I mean, it wasn't that straightforward, right?
It's nicer to put vice mayor in front of your name instead of counselor, I guess. But there's no additional authority or anything that comes with it. Some people believe that it's a kind of a stepping stone, meaning if you're vice mayor, therefore you have the upper hand for the next mayor election. But that historically is definitely not true.
No. Yeah.
So anyway, so that took place and Alana Mallon was chosen again after a little bit. I think initially there were one ballot for each, but the way it works is that the ballot is not closed until the gavel strikes three times. And before that happened, they shuffled some votes around.
Right.
So Sumbul Siddiqui gave her initial, honored her original pledge and gave her vote for vice mayor to Patty Noel initially, which some people were a little confused about. But then once there were not five votes for Patty Nolan, then the votes started switching and they all closed ranks around Alana Mallon. It ended up just the five votes. And any other votes just didn't matter because you got to five. All you got to do is get to five, right? You don't need an unanimity for it.
But a few people wanted it. So.
Yeah. I mean, several people have commented on it. I think Chronicle is actually doing a nice story about it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Some would argue that you catch a lucky break to be mayor during a crisis because everybody will give you credit and thank you for it. That's a very cold-hearted political way of looking at the world. The way I look at it, and I think the way a lot of reasonable people look at it, it's no fun to be mayor in the middle of a pandemic. So Sumbul Siddiqui was legitimately elected before the pandemic really kicked into high gear. It was not a fun ride.
Right.
I think she handled herself extremely well, and worked cooperatively with Louis DePasquale and, and city staff, who still, you know, in spite of the fact that our numbers are high with Omicron, but they're everywhere high right now.
But I think ours still, our percent, our positivity is still lower than most.
Very places. Low, yeah. No, I think Cambridge, by and large, handled the crisis as well as could be done.
Yeah.
You know, and you can always find some faults here and there, but, you know, honestly, we took care
of. You know, I go in a lot of places. I'm not that, and I never see anyone without a mask inside. I just don't. And I know people have said it. I think Denise Simmons has brought it up, but maybe in certain, I think she's brought it up like in public buildings or maybe in public projects or whatever. That could be true. But the people here just, they're wearing masks outside. I'm doing it now because it's cold, but you know.
Yeah, actually, I noticed that actually really it's kind of okay that way.
Yeah, it helps. It covers, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I think. You noticed that? I mean, it's just people are really.
In the early days of this, you know, a year and a half ago, I think a lot of us were just sort of living in dire fear.
Yes.
Some people still are living in dire fear.
Well, especially because Omicron's made you, oh my God, every other person can have it. Yeah.
I mean, there are still people who will like walk out into the street rather than pass out and
get on the sidewalk. That happened to me the other day, but
that's true. That's a little weird. But, but you know, there was a lot of that. Remember when they were closing down streets because you had to walk out in the street? You couldn't walk on the sidewalk.
And,
people running by you were going to kill you. But, but that was the mindset of the day. Nowadays, I think people are just really, really fatigued by it all, and
they are
kind of horrified that we're still in a big surge.
I know they've been jolted a little by this Omicron.
Yeah, so people are going, like, even I'll say, like, well, I'd rather not be wearing this mask, but in a lot of situations, I'll go, let's just soldier on, get through this stupid.
And now it's double mask. I mean, be careful what kind of mask you wear and all this stuff. So it's like,
So, it might actually be worth just mentioning here. Yeah. I'm going to see if we can. I'll probably. I'm do my best not to foul things up here, but
I thought I would. Sharing here.
I am going to do a little quick screen share here.
Oh, of the
if I may. So first, I just sort of, since we were just talking about the mayor.
Mayors. Oh yeah.
You know, one of the things that I put a link on the site was you know, just to kind of look at the historical.
Yeah.
Record of the mayors, even if you can look all the way back from when Cambridge became a city in 1846, but even during the Plan E era, 1941 on, you'll notice that, you know, because now Sumbul Siddiqui is going to be mayor two terms in a row.
Who was the first woman mayor? Was it Barbara Ackerman or Alice?
Barbara Ackerman. Yeah. Back in 1936. And I even on the shelf right next to me, I think I have Barbara Ackerman's book about being the mayor.
Right.
But you know, there were historically, even from the very, very first planning terms, we had John Corcoran was mayor for two consecutive terms. Ed Crane holds the record probably forever. Well, and he was mayor three terms in a row, starting in 1960, 62, and 64. But you know, there have been others. Ken Reeves was back to back in the early 90s. Michael Sullivan, 2002, and then 2004 again. You know, so it's happened before.
This is interesting. I see that Sumbul is the first woman to do two terms.
To go back to back, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So anyway, so that's worth noting. By the way, for those interested in knowing who the city managers and city clerks going back to the 1600s, I have that as well. But I thought it would be and by the way, for those who are curious about the mayoral count and the vote switching, you know, I have that all posted up on a website about how that initially went and how the vote switching came to, how they it came to be five. But the thing I wanted to just point out here again is just how extraordinary this Omicron period, the surge.
Look at that. Just that one day it's gone up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 364 today is a new record, a new daily record of new additions. Yeah. It's, you know, just since I make these graphs every day, how many times I've had to rescale the graph to, you know, to go from 10,000 to 11,000 to 12,000 to 13,000 on top. Seems like every week I have to add another 1,000 on there. It's terrible. And, you know, but But I think one of the things that I keep staring at, even more so than the cumulative numbers of COVID cases, is sort of the shape of things. Now, again, you can speculate all you want here, and I will right now. I mean, you can see how this Omicron phase here has dwarfed Delta. I mean, really dwarfed it, right? I mean, we had the winter surge from last year, and then Delta was-
This is from the beginning of it to now.
The very beginning that we were all living in fear is actually quite small.
Look how low that is. Oh my God.
Last year during the winter into spring was really, we thought that was it. And then it would virtually vanished by the beginning of summer. And then came Delta, and then we said, okay, that'll be that.
Right.
And then now we have today. And
this is really spiked.
It's just spiked like mad. But if you actually look though at what has happened in places like in South Africa, another place, I think in England right now, where this particular phase really spiked, but then it really crashed, it is really crashing. So, you know, is this going to continue to rise before crashing, or is it going to crash soon?
I heard something that the UK and maybe some other countries, their testing is far superior than ours is, or the availability of rapid tests. And that's a little scary to me, because we now are outpacing any other country in terms of our people.
Yeah, a lot more people are being tested now as the long lines will test. So
I know,
some of
the,
our big
that's
numbers,
the whole problem. They can't get the tests, a lot of people. So
I mean, I suspect, I don't know this, but the 364 new cases for today may be actually part of those numbers, may include some of the numbers from the schools. Right?
Because they're testing today and tomorrow. That's true.
Yeah, there's a certain percentage of
there will be
cases will be positives, right?
Definitely,
So now, again, I don't want to be all Pollyanna about this, but you know,
you've
there
got
is
the
a certain
age thing down there. Can you go show?
Yeah,
that?
Just to sort of show that it was just sort of the in the very young ranges where everything was spiking, but there's also a lot more people in those groups, right?
Yes.
So if you actually look at this, but if you look at the shape, you know, where it goes up and then it goes up and then it goes up, and you'll notice that that's actually happening pretty much all. It's just that there's fewer people in each of these age groups, right?
Well, they're also not doing a lot of the things that this other age group does. I mean, they're retired or they're not.
Well, but
I mean, that's part of it. Fewer people, yes. But
right. But my point is simply that the spiking, the recent spiking is happening in the very young, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, even the 60s, and even the 70s. You can see it's just that there are fewer people testing.
Slightly,
but you know, so it's the pattern you do see across all the age groups right now. Now, I will speak kind of intuitively here.
Yeah.
You know, and the way I've been saying this to people is, you know, it's like the flame that burns brightest burns out fastest too. So there's a very real possibility that, you know, I mean, I'm so grateful for the vaccinations in that it's preventing
and the boosters. And they said boosters really are helping against
them. Right. And I'm fully boosted now. And what it means is that, you know, even as people getting sick, they're not getting the dire effects. And the variant itself seems to be a little milder. But
it still is a potential for.
That's right. Just because of the sheer numbers of positives.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, if there's a part of me feels that this was this fire was destined to burn through, you know, the prairie before it was all said and done. And we're kind of in that period where it's kind of burning through the prairie. But once it does, you know, then I think you'll start to see the numbers diminish rather quickly.
I hope so.
You know, and then maybe in a month and a half from now, we may be looking back and saying,
well, they said the peak will be,
I've been hearing mid-January to late January. Now, again, that's all based on modeling, but I think a lot of that modeling is pretty robust.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I teach a course in differential equations, and
our
last lecture is I give them a little intro to some of the modeling. So, so I feel pretty good that this is not going to last forever, and we'll be okay as we head toward in toward February into March, whatever. But again, purely intuitive. I'm not going to quote numbers to sort of back that up, but I feel there's good reason to believe that. So, you know, and a lot of experts seem to believe that's the case as well. So anyway, so that's sort of the good news about the bad news. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
Yeah.
One other thing that I think, you know, I know we often talk about things related to city council matters. And, you know, they haven't, obviously they couldn't have, they last met on December 20th. It was 20th.
You wrote the 20th, so I think
that's yeah. And anyway, so the, you know, and then we, you know, it was they canceled the last meeting of the term, as they almost always do.
Some meetings after the 20th.
Though. There were committee meetings, public committee meetings. Yeah, which is kind of, that's something of interest, but but now the new mayor was the same as the old mayor. We'll make committee appointments. Maybe there'll be some changes from last time, but you know, there's a good chance that it'll only be minor changes, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. I actually hope they do shuffle them up.
Don't some council members request certain things?
They do, and they may not have gotten it last time, or maybe they got sick of, they could have gotten sick of being on a, you know, listen, if I was Sumbul Siddiqui, for example, I would make sure that Quentin Zondervan was not head of the public safety committee. I would make that priority one, because I think he's basically been using it for all the worst reasons. But again, I don't know who wants that job right now.
Yeah, that's a touchy job. I mean, that's a touchy committee at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I kind of hope, I mean, I would sign on in a heartbeat to the pledge that Heather Hoffman has been asking councilors to sign on for civility. And, you know, I think we've been using city council during a pandemic. There's been a lot of opportunism that's been run across city council to kind of create dissent and trouble and hard feelings. And maybe,
well, wasn't I kind of hope we can things get past also that. Went to neighborhood organizations too,
and neighbor organizations as well. Yeah. You know, we've sort of gone through a pretty bad patch. And honestly, I really thought for sure that when the pandemic kicked in, we'd all put a lot of that stuff aside, and it didn't happen, you know, but I don't know, maybe we were all just, you know, cooped up and getting frustrated or whatever.
I think it's the national climate too.
Yeah.
But it definitely trickles down.
Yeah. I know the mayor is not going to take my advice necessarily on anything, but the truth is that, by getting the right people in these positions, you can actually set a good standard, and then everybody's life will be better. You know,
yeah, but you gotta be careful. Can't be political, but
you know, but people do use, city councilors do use their positions as committee chairs.
Well, can you make a committee a co-chair? Can you have co-chairs for a committee?
You know, they
balance it out.
Some of them do have co-chairs, and what
housing
they do,
did Gvan and.
Right. And Denise. Other, right. With each council term, one of the only, I think they did this on Monday. After they do the election of the mayor and then the vice mayor, they do usually one order of business, which is other than adjourning, which is the adopting the rules. And usually what they do is they adopt the rules of the previous council provisionally with the possibility of changing it. Now, one thing, rules are not just a matter of, you know, when you can, you know, make a motion and all that stuff. It's also includes the naming of the committees, the number of members on committees, how many people constitute a quorum, whether they have co-chairs or just a single chair.
Is that different than the charter? That's not spelled out in the charter?
The charter is actually a part of state law. And though it can be amended, as we did with ballot.
Yeah, we're amending ours. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But but the
with committees and stuff, all that's
it's all part of council rules. Yeah.
Okay.
So so I hope they make good decisions.
Yeah.
So that we have a good working city council, as opposed to a kind of an inflammatory posturing council, which we have sometimes had.
Did they have retreats before to go over this stuff? I seem to remember that.
They have done that, you know, in some past years.
Okay.
Those are usually closed to the public. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think they should be. Yeah.
The school committee has been known to do those things with some regularity.
But if you could discuss in council rules and stuff, I mean, that's not going to be done.
You know, I think in many ways, this will be a function of the individuals. I mean, I often say that, I mean, in my opinion, Paul Toner joining the council is a person who can, he's a good negotiator and a person who's because oriented that way.
He's running an organization at the school.
Yeah, I think I call him the new kid. He's probably horribly bothered by that. But Burhan Azim is a very cordial fellow. And I think there's a good chance that he'll so be more into cooperation than in confrontation. We are still starting off this council term, still in the thick of the pandemic. I know. But, you know, if we can get past that, then, you know, there's some good opportunities for good work from elected officials. And hopefully, maybe they'll rediscover the capacity to find compromise.
And that kind of leads into the whole thing about reporting and committees.
Yeah. And so, yeah. I mean, this, to me, you know, So I would just say something a little bit about that. All right. Mm-hmm. So one of the real, to me, a real bad aspects of not just the council term that just ended, but even a little bit of the one before.
Oh yeah.
Was, you know, because I've been keeping track of this stuff for years, mm-hmm. is that whenever city council committees would meet and they would discuss matters of substance, because it used to be said that most of the hard work would happen in committees, then within a few weeks of the meeting, there would be a report made to the full city council, of the meeting. And sometimes mm-hmm. they would be very detailed, sometimes less so. Mm-hmm. But at least there would be a report. And if there was an action item, you know, they could vote on it, whether it was an ordinance committee one, it had zoning related matters, they could pass through a second reading and maybe move legislation mm-hmm. along. But for reasons that are a little inexplicable to me, starting with the previous council term, they actually ended the term where they were like, I think about 13 or more committee reports that were never filed at all. So they never even reported back to the council. And I thought, what the heck is that about? Now, some of it was because the chairs were Jan Devereaux and Craig Kelly who left. But I can tell you that in years before, whenever somebody was leaving the council, if they were, including Ken Reeves, if you were chair of a committee, you made sure you cleaned up your act and got all your reports in before you left.
Your report. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes the reports of one council term won't arrive until early in the next council term. Yeah. Right? But this year, maybe the excuse being the Zoomy world and the pandemic and whatever, there were so many meetings that you can see the videos. But the minutes were taken, never reported to the council. It's like they've just decided we don't want to do that part of our job.
Were there more meetings than usual? I know there were a lot of
not really,
which required ordinance meetings. Really?
No, I think, well,
there
were more
a lot missing middle and this and that.
Right? Yeah, I think there was maybe more ordinance committee meetings than usual, but the other committees, yeah, I think it was
but still, comparable. But to your point, the committee had, somebody should be saying, where are the minutes?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, actually, I think I'm going to, at the risk here, I'll just do it. I'll just flash it right quickly here.
We have a few minutes.
Yeah. So I actually just, because I was a little bored at the end of the year, and I said, well, let me go actually see how many of these reports were never made. Okay. You know, and there were actually 15 that were never mm-hmm. reported from the 2018-2019 council. Right, mm-hmm. including some very substantial ones. And then the 2021 council, there's 39. Now, some that's of them crazy. Are relatively recent meetings in November and December. So that's completely, you know, excusable.
But summer.
There are meetings going back over a year or a year and a half, right, that were just never reported at all. You know, and we're talking about substantial stuff they were discussing in some of these meetings. Know. You know, and it just, and the list would go on and on and on. Now, I have to say that I personally fault the committee chairs first and foremost, because mm-hmm. they are the ones that sign the report and communicate it to the council.
Yeah.
But, you know, they will probably point the nasty finger toward the city clerk for not making it happen. And maybe there is some validity in that as well. So I think they both bear some responsibility, but
I mean, aren't they using transcription software now where they can
should make it easier, you know? And you do a quick proofread, you know, and if you make a mistake, you can always edit it later anyway.
Well, I have a good idea. Maybe the A the personal aid that's being paid.
Okay, now I'm going to...
They should be doing that.
Hold on. I have to say, though, back at... They tried that. You know, and sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Well, when Nadeem Mazen was on the council, he had his aide actually write up the minutes, and they were so horrible that they were funny. They were comical.
Okay, and but I lamped them.
But that's not what I'm talking about. Right, though. But my point is that if you, you know, there's the city clerks and the people in the city clerk's office are the right people to do it because
I understand. Somebody's got to do it. Just use subscriptions software, or you know, so that way you don't have to put your own opinion
still
into it.
It should be people in the city clerk's office who should basically check it. Not it gets very political. It's basically become you have your city council aide do it, then they're basically trumpeting the virtues of their loyal, you know, their counselor.
But again, not if they use a prescribed software program that they give that to the city clerk, or the city clerk's already got it. So I don't know what.
So they should do that. I think that they, you know, my hope and my request to the new city council is to clean up the old business before you start on the new business.
And also the city manager, the office, that's crazy.
That's right. Yeah. So let's just clean it up. You know,
because they have a lot of work this year. They have a lot of work. They got to find a city manager. They have to find a city clerk. They have to, you know, do all these charter changes that they're
they don't have to do the charter changes. Those have taken place, but they do have to implement them.
They have to act on them because they wanted them. So now they have to act on them.
All right. They have to decide whether they're going to grill every city manager appointee or just ones to specific boards.
They're
going to
be busy.
Presumably. Yeah. But the big the big question is still the city manager question.
Absolutely.
And that's still unsettled.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to be closing out in the next few seconds, and we'll see you shortly in our next segment.
All right. See you then.
Bye.